Favorite hour of the week, Chris Hulk, two-time Super Bowl champion. Chris traveling at the moment, so he is on the Sullivan Super Service fan hotline, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. He's also on our YouTube feed. I'm looking right at him, and what a wonderfully handsome man he is. How are you, Chris?
Doing great, brother. How are you doing?
Doing great. People can go to YouTube, to our fan site, or on our website, 93.7thefan.com, and actually watch this as if you were watching a television commercial. All right, Hokie, let's get right to it. Unbelievably, this is the story of the week. In a week where the quarterback might change, the Steelers quarterback, that's the highest profile position in town here in any sport, but George Pickens is the story. Last year, it was him quitting on a block and then saying he didn't want to get injured, which is why he didn't block for Jaylen Warren at the goal line. This year, it's jogging routes against the Cowboys, pouting on the sidelines. Ray Fittipaldo reporting this morning that sources have told the Post-Gazette that Pickens has been late to work multiple times this season. You had Max Starks, your old teammate, on the Steelers' flagship station, ripping Pickens the other night, saying basically this is a me guy, not a we guy, and he's got to get it together. You don't pout on the sidelines and things like that. You had Ben, another of your former teammates, on his podcast this week saying the Steelers basically have to avoid certain running plays because Pickens, quote, is not going to block on those plays. And you have Mike Tomlin running interference for the guy, even as his own teammates in the locker room are basically criticizing George this week. Here's my question, Hokie. If George Pickens played the game he played, and I put played in quotes, the other night, and walked into your locker room on Tuesday morning or Wednesday morning or whenever you guys see each other again, and walked past you and Casey Hampton and Aaron Smith and James Ferrier and Joey Porter and Troy Polamalu and Alan Faneca and Jerome Bettis and Hines Ward, what would have been the reception? How would you guys be treating this as a leadership group in your locker room?
Well, listen, you left out the big name, James Harrison. He wouldn't have gotten past James Harrison.
Oh, my God.
I mean, that's just back. That team back then was all about guys just bringing their lunch pail to work and going all out every single Sunday. And that's not a Pittsburgh Steeler. And so what you just laid out to me in your opening is not a Pittsburgh Steeler football player. And so he's got to fix that. And listen, this story of him being late to meetings, that's an old story. It's been going on since the day he got here. And that's the sad thing is that this has been going on forever and continues. But the reality is, Starkey, is when you get out on that football field, when you cross that white line and the ball snapped, there's no excuse to be lackadaisical. There's no excuse to not to be physical and play with a sense of urgency. And that's what you're seeing on the film. And that's why you see Max Starks pointing that out. As you say, Ben pointed out, we're pointing it out. It's obvious on the tape. And when it's that obvious, you're going to see your plays diminished. Like you've seen, and no matter what the excuses of why he didn't play a lot, the reality is you put plays like that on the film that Coach Thomas says, that's your walking, talking, breathing resume, right? That's his resume is what he's putting on the film and what he did on Sunday night going about his business without a sense of urgency is who he is. And in order to get more playing time, he's got to change that.
Let me interject very quickly, Hokie, that George Pickens is speaking to the media right now, so we'll be coming back with some of that later in the show. But is he capable of changing that? I mean, the context that we're talking in today is Jerry Dulac reported back in training camp that the Steelers had full intentions of giving George Pickens a big contract after this season. He's an incredibly talented guy, and he's been pretty productive, Hokie, but I don't know about that. Yeah. What are you thinking about that right now?
Well, I just think, listen, if this guy right now is making good money and acting like this, what's going to happen when you put $10, $15 million in a year in his pocket? They call that something that was written on his nose tape on Sunday night, right? I mean, that's money that they don't listen to anybody after you get that kind of money. And so the reality is that you've got to be very careful. And sometimes with a guy like this, and I'm not saying this is going to happen, but you see it all across the NFL. When a guy's like this and he just won't listen to, you know, what a professional is supposed to be and what how they're supposed to act, you get put on the street, you'll change real quick. And so that's the thing is the Steelers, do they need to trade him? Do they need to maybe cut him? This is premature. But a lot of guys like this that act like this, that think that they're above the game, which that's what it is. You show up late for meetings. You're lackadaisical on the field. Right? We're just talking in general. Players that act like that are players that think that they're above the game. And the game has a long history and tradition. And this is not what it's about. And so the people that are gonna make these deals in that front office, Omar and Coach Tomlin, got to think long and hard because they're putting money in a guy's hand. Right now, it's proven to this point that he is not a Pittsburgh Steeler type player in terms of effort and playing with a sense of urgency.
I'm trying to figure out, you know, Tomlin, what is Tomlin actually doing behind closed doors? Why won't he, you know, forcefully call out Pickens publicly?
Not his style.
What's that?
Not his style, Starkey. His style, I mean, the guy is just, he's so great with players. He's a player's coach, and not in the bad way, right? I mean, guys play hard for Coach Tomlin. As you've seen, he never loses a locker room. Guys are going to go fight for him. Guys throughout the NFL want to come play for him. He's a great coach. The reality is Coach Tomlin's never, you know, very rarely, he's done it over the years. He's been it forever, so he's done it a few times, and we can point to those if you'd like. But the reality is that he doesn't call people out in the media. What he does is Coach Tomlin works behind the scenes. He talks to these guys, and he's got a great rapport with these players. But at some point, you've got to do what he did on Sunday night is sit a guy down, get in his pocket. Sometimes getting in his pocketbook and taking some of his money doesn't change behavior. It's not playing on Sunday night football, and that's a little embarrassing. And that's what changes behavior. And if at some point, if he doesn't change, you're going to have to do a little more than that. And suspend players. I don't know. But the reality is right now, whatever they've done to this point hasn't worked.
Well, he might not lose the locker room, Hokie, but he sure loses a lot of these receivers. And once they start to go down the wrong road, they never return. He's unable to retrieve them. Santonio Holmes, AB, Martavis Bryant, Chase Claypool, Deontay Johnson, all traded. So I have to question whatever his tactics are for getting the most out of these guys and you know, keeping them engaged. It really hasn't worked.
I don't know. Santonio played here for a while, right? Super Bowl MVP. It was free agency. People leave for more money. So I wouldn't say anything that had something to do with Coach Tomlin. AB, who was able to keep AB under control longer than Coach Tomlin? He left here. He was a loose cannon, right? Coach Tomlin did a great job of keeping him under control for so long. Listen, everybody knows the famous stories about AB, and even though he was a prolific, one of the greatest receivers to play the game, the reality was he was a guy that you had to always know where he was, and it took a lot of work to keep him under control for as long as he did. So, Deontay Johnson, the game's changed, unfortunately, where with social media, with a lot of this stuff, it becomes a me game. It's about marketing myself. As you see what's written on his nose tape, which is completely appalling in my mind, it draws attention to you rather than the team, which is not Steeler-like again. And that's the reality of now. That's the era we live in, Starkey, unfortunately.
Well, let's talk about that before we move on to the quarterbacks real quick. I mean, this isn't really the issue. And if they win the game, nobody cares. And if this doesn't become a story with his effort, but the Steelers portray themselves, and you've experienced it, I'm sure you would back this, as a family-friendly organization. We're the mom-and-pop Steelers. You have a guy on national television with the F-word painted on his face. Tomlin claims that he was the only one of 20.3 million people watching the game who didn't notice it. Nobody told him to take it off. Would you have? Would one of your teammates have? What do you make of that thing?
These me scratching my head. I'm surprised. Listen, Coach Tomlin has so many things going on. Did he look him in the eye? Did it get to him throughout the game? I don't know. I want to give Coach Tomlin the benefit of the doubt on this because there's so many things going on. He's one of 53, and it's, you know, the thing with the rain and the weather and all that took place. There was a lot going on. So maybe he didn't know. I want to give him the benefit of the doubt there. But the reality is that right there, that's not what the Rooney stand for. the Rooneys are good people at their core, and that's not what they're like either, and that's not what they desire for their organization to represent. And when you're on Sunday Night Football, one of the biggest audiences of the year, Sunday Night Football, and you have that, that's not a good show, and I'm sure that's being taken care of right now.
Would you have told him to take it off? Would James Harrison, Farrier, somebody said, you know?
I don't know.
Not tonight.
No, I don't think a player would ask, but I would hope that if that coach knew that, you know, just kind of what the culture was of the Pittsburgh Steelers, that they would ask him to take that off. Because to me, that's just not representative of who the Steelers are and who the Rooneys are as people. Listen, I've known the Rooneys for 20 years, and they're as good as people as there are in the world. So. And that's not the kind of people they represent and they desire to be.
Chris Hoke, two-time Super Bowl champion on the line. Let's get to the quarterbacks. I guess we'll see today, you know, if Russell Wilson gets some first-team reps. He's apparently been healthy for a couple weeks, cleared to play, but has only been the emergency quarterback. How do you expect this to play out, Hokie? And what would you do if Wilson's ready?
Listen, I think, you know, 2 weeks ago, this wouldn't even be a question. I believe that Justin Fields would be the guy moving forward until there was an injury or something. But the last 2 weeks, he hasn't played horrible. He had 312 yards just 2 weeks ago against the Colts. And last week, you know, they missed some throws, some big throws that he could have connected on that would have changed the game and the complexion of the game. But I think that I believe they'll go with him this Sunday. He ran first team reps. Let's see how he goes. Let's see how he does. If things are still just kind of slow and offense is not producing points, then I think you go with Russell Wilson maybe in this game or in the following week when you come back for another primetime game. I just think right now where the Steelers are going, they're only averaging 18 points a game. That's not horrible, but hasn't been enough to win the last 2 weeks. And that's the struggle right now is offensively, they're just not producing points. And this game, if you can't score, you can't win.
Speaking of the offense, Chris, you know, it's been fits and starts at best. Ben on his podcast had a very specific critique of the offense. You can hear, right? You can hear the interview with Ben.
Yes, sir.
Take a listen to this, and then we'll get your thoughts.
I understand that you want to be a team that runs the ball and is physical, but when it's not working, stop running your head into the wall. Naj is not getting it done right now. And I'm not saying it's Naj's fault. Naj runs hard. He is doing everything that he can. But the run game is more than just the runner. Yeah. It's the line. It's the tight ends. It's the receivers. It's everybody's involved. And Naj is working really hard, but it's just not there right now. Find other ways to get the ball down the field. And that's what they did on that drive right after coming out of the blue tent too, which is even more surprising. It's like, yes, this is what you want to see. You want to see these shots. I mean, I'll go back earlier in the game. Like, I loved what they did early in the game with Justin. I thought the shot he took to Connor Hayward was a perfect pass.
Yes.
Connor dove for it. We always tell receivers, don't dive. It's hard to tell guys because you're actually faster when you run through a ball instead of dive. People think you need to dive for it. Same reason you don't slide into first base, right? You run through it.
And he talked about getting the ball to the tight end more on little screens, slip screens to the running backs, etc. That's Ben from his podcast, Footballin'. Thoughts?
Yeah, I'm telling you, it's great to hear Ben's voice and hear him break it down because that's not only just a wise football player and just a knowledgeable one, but a guy who's been there, done that, and seen it from the – he has a lens that he's seen it through for a number of years. But, you know, I agree with him on a lot of points. Listen, Najee ran really hard. I've watched this film since Sunday night. I've watched it several times. He ran hard. The holes aren't always there. Listen, they're asking him to do some runs and run a style that's not really conducive to him and what's best for him. He's not a zone running kind of running back. He's a downhill runner. Think Derrick Henry, right? And they're running these zones that's more for Jaylen Warren and for Cordell Patterson, but more Jaylen Warren. And so those aren't there. And they're not winning at the point of the attack all the times. So that's the struggle. So, yeah, I mean, there's other ways to move the ball. I mean, I just remember, I think back to when we used to play the Patriots and Tom Brady, and they couldn't run the ball on us. I mean, there were times when they were averaging less than 1 yard a carry in games, and they would go to a run play alternative, and they'd start running quick screens and quick outs and quick slants and things, now passes, just to get the ball into their playmakers' hands and to stretch us out. And so I just think, you know, Ben's right. There's got to be other ways than running your head into the wall. But that's the Steelers. That's Arthur Smith. He wants to pound the football and impose his will on people. And that's what they're trying to do right now. The reality is they're not moving the line of scrimmage like they'd like to right now, especially on the edges. And so if you can't run downhill on the edge, it's very difficult to run the football when your outside guys are getting knocked back.
By outside guys, you mean the tackles, tight ends, both?
Oh, yeah. I mean, listen, Coach Tomlin talks all the time about when you play 4-3 teams, right? When you play a 4-3 team, it's tight ends versus DNs. And those tight ends got to win. And so the tight ends don't get them off the ball and knock a guy back. And they get knocked back into the backfield. It's tough to run the ball off the edge. I mean, it widens the edge there and makes Najee go a little bit farther, right? He can't hit it downhill. And he's got to go more lateral. Listen. There are a couple guys on this offensive line who are getting after him, man. I think Zach Frazier is playing better than anybody. You watch this guy playing and play out. I mean, he's finishing blocks. Almost every play he's off the film, off the screen, because he's knocking his guy back. He stays on his block. You know, these guys got to stay on blocks, and they've got to finish blocks. And listen, I'm not here to call guys out, but the reality is you go back and watch the film, it's very clear who's finishing blocks and who's not.
Who's not?
Well, I'll tell you who is. You know, you have guys like, you know, Sam Allu's finishing blocks. So listen, it's the same guy. I mean, it's just about being out there and having a little bit of a fight to your business and finishing mentality. There the group of guys that were out there, like, you know, Pouncey, those guys, and Marone Foster, DeCastro, those are finished. You have Zach Frazier out there that's finishing blocks. I just think we need to get a little more out of 77. I think Broderick Jones is, you know, if you watch him, he doesn't finish his blocks. And his guys a lot of times come off the block and make plays. And it happens a lot of times. You'll see him patting his chest like, my fault, or smacking his hips like, oh, dang. I saw him one time turn to Najee and said, that was my bad. At some point, you can't do that 6 or 7, 8 times a game. You've got to go out and you got to block your guy and stay on your block. And that's what Max Starks is talking about. Listen, Max Starks was talking about Broderick. Let's be honest, you know, and guys got to come out and at some point live up to the first round pedigree. And if you want, if you think I'm crazy for saying this, go back and watch the film. The film doesn't lie. There's an old saying in the NFL, the eye in the sky don't lie. And if you want to know if what I'm talking about is true, flip on the film. Watch Zach Frazier finish blocks and watch Broderick Jones finish blocks. It's night and day difference.
Chris Hoak, brought to you by McVay Plumbing and Heating. Fan text line brought to you by Edgar Snyder and Associates, personal injury law firm, where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. And fan Twitter brought to you by South Hills Kia Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. All right, let's talk about your bread and butter then, the other side of the ball. They're getting pushed around. The Cowboys don't run on anybody. I don't even know what the running back's name was. What happened? Who happened? Identify the problem, if you would, Chris, with the run defense, really the past couple weeks.
I think they did a pretty good job the first three quarters. They wore down. Remember a few weeks back, Starkey, we were talking about how the Steelers just wore down the Chargers.
Yeah.
And were imposing their will on the Chargers in the fourth quarter. That's just what the Cowboys did. And they got after the Steelers, especially on that last touchdown drive. I mean, they came out, and I think the first three or four plays, they ran the ball and had success running the football. I think they wore down the Steelers. Injuries are catching up to them right now. It's really hurt. The Steelers' defense is totally different without Highsmith and Herbig. Mm. Listen, Herbig came in and was playing lights out. And when he's in the game, I just love his energy. I love the way he comes off the ball. He causes fits for offensive tackles. And he and T.J. Watt, so fun to watch them meet at the quarterback. And if you want to see something funny, watch Herbig. He is a spitting image of T.J. Watt on the other side of the ball. You can see that he's studied his film, that he works with them, and he's trying to be a great football player. So really there wasn't much of a drop-off. I mean, Highsmith is a heck of a football player, and there wasn't much of a drop-off when Herbig came in there. And then when he comes out because of injury, as you saw that against the Colts, there was some time when he had to come off the field because of injuries. It's different because you don't have that speed off the edge that causes fits, right, for a tackle. You know, Leal does a good job. He does a good job, but he's not Herbig or Highsmith with that quickness. That's where, you know, the struggle is right there. The injuries are catching up to them. I'd like to see the linebackers a little more active. I'd like to see him playing a little more downhill. These D tackles are getting double teamed a lot. They're getting double teamed a lot. And I was always played, and Casey Hampton and I was, and it was always like this, man, if I'm getting doubled, hit the gap, get upfield, and get this guy off me so I can come off and make a play, or you can get in the back and make a play. And it seems like there's just not a lot of downhill playing right now. I'd like to see him be more physical at the point of attack. The linebackers getting on, getting off, blocks. The linemen at times seemed, you asked me last week, Starkey, about, is it fair to say that Patrick Queen is getting eaten up by these linemen? And you would like to see more from him. He's a big free agent. He's an all pro guy. You'd like to see him make a few more plays. But I think, we're just talking about guys, but across the board, they've all got to be better. And I think they know that.
Last play, the winning play, the last Cowboys play anyway, you had TJ getting extra attention, plus Prescott rolling away from him a little bit. You had Keanu Benton rushing the passer. You had Cam, for some reason, wound up back at the goal line on the ground. And then you had Jeremiah Moon did nothing on the play. Would you have blitzed on that play with at least one more guy? What would you have done to defend the last play?
Well, listen, it was tough, man, how they ran that play. It was a crossing pattern. It was well executed, a crisscross kind of deal with the receivers on opposite sides. A tough deal for Deshaun Elliott to come across and stay with Tolbert on that. I don't know. I think you blitz and you put yourself in a tough spot. Dak Prescott's not a statue back there either, and you're playing against this guy as an all-pro quarterback. You saw them throws that he made. And so you're damned if you do, damned if you don't, Starkey, in that situation. And I think they chose to rush four guys and see what happens and try to fill up. When you have a lot of guys that are in all over the place in the red zone, especially when you're inside the five, it's difficult to find. I mean, I'm not a quarterback, but I have to imagine, and I've been told, that it's hard to see receivers when you have seven guys, DBs all over the place. There's not a lot of room to run or to go. It was just a perfect play call and perfect execution. You got to give a lot of credit to the Cowboys, man. Dak Prescott was big time. A lot of big time throws that we haven't seen around here since Ben played.